Saturday AM Live with Vance Rogers.
Well, good morning, everybody, again. This is Vance Rogers, and what an exciting, exciting time to be alive. And this is Saturday AM Live, and we've got two, not one, like we usually do, but we've got two wonderful guests with us today. Angelique Edelin from Melbourne Beach, Florida, and Sandy Truax from, oh, I should have got the city from you, Sandy.
Taylorsville, Kentucky.
Taylorsville, Kentucky, which is near?
Louisville, Kentucky. Everybody knows Louisville.
Everybody knows Louisville. Okay.
Yeah.
So Louisville, Kentucky, and then right literally on the Atlantic seaboard, Melbourne Beach, Florida, is where Angelique is residing. And these two individuals are going to talk to us today about the subject of autism. And Angelique, we still have you, correct?
Correct.
Okay, fantastic. And, you know, just from my own perspective as being a parent and being a wellness consultant in NECAN, you start to learn a lot of things about what's going on. You pay more attention. You start reading more articles that are online through the help of the Healthy Child, Healthy World organization. You see things and you're going, okay, what am I doing as a parent that can improve the lives of our children and improve the lives of everybody in our home? And you don't buy into everything, but at the same time, if it makes sense, then you jump on it. And the subject of autism is affecting, give us the current numbers, either one of you, Sandy or Angelique, how many people are being, or families are being affected by this now?
The latest I've heard is 1 in 50. When Trent was diagnosed, it was 1 in 100. Or 110, I think, and then it dropped down to 1 in 88, and the last I heard was 1 in 50, which is heartbreaking to hear that.
It's extremely staggering, to say the least. And I know that, Sandy, you as a grandmother of Trent, and then Angelique as a mother of Ben, two different perspectives, but you're both dealing with some of the same things of how do we utilize what NECAN's given us and the Wellness Home Solutions to make a better life, to create a better future, and do that. So let's rewind a little bit, and I'd love to hear both of your perspectives of what autism is. Just as a little review, for those of us who maybe, oh yeah, I heard that's really hard on kids and it's hard on families, but what are some of the predominant things that, I mean, because I think 10, 12, 15 years ago, the latest buzz that all kids were dealing with was ADD and ADHD. And then the magic formula was to hop them up on Ritalin and, and we're all good to go. And then in the last, 5, 10 years, that whole focus has shifted now to autism is one of the big things, as you just said, Sandy, 1 in 50 families are being affected by this, so the numbers are huge. What is autism?
Well, I think it is a neuro disorder, and it affects cognitive, social, and communicative skills. And so basically, it affects behaviors, nonverbal or verbal. If a child's verbal, then, it can affect them as far as how they express themselves, and nonverbal with them not being able to express themselves when they get frustrated. They can, do things that, would look just like a tantrum in a small child. The cognitive impairment is, depends on, where they're at on the spectrum, how much they, I think they're all taking information, but it depends on how much they can give you back.
Okay.
He's verbal, but he's not conversational verbal. He can express his wants and his needs and dislikes, but he can't, as of yet, communication back and forth in a conversation like you would have with most children.
Okay, and Ben, remind us again, Angelique, Ben is how old?
Ben just turned 14 in May.
Okay. Okay, and Sandy, for you, Trent is how old?
He's 9 years old.
9 years old. And agree with Angelique, or you want to add to the definition of what you, as a grandma, what your take on autism, just looking at it from the perspective of what it is and when you guys first found out that you had a grandson with this?
Yeah, well, basically with Trent, it was, you know, the lack of verbal skills. That's kind of the one thing that seems to be true for everybody. He was also not very, well, he didn't look you in the eye, not very affectionate, those kinds of things. And a lot of meltdowns for no reason. And just, that's how we diagnosed it at the beginning. He actually had a cousin that was just 12 days older than he was. And so it was easy to make the comparisons of where Trent is versus Ethan. And then the meltdowns. And so one thing led to another. And somebody, you know, the doctor suggested doing some testing and things for autism. And that was when Trent was probably around 2. So we started with early intervention with speech and occupational therapy and, you know, the typical things that you do to try to help that child. Trent has a lot of behavior problems and has always been very hyperactive. For us, Trent, the sleeping was has always been an issue, not sleeping well, not sleeping through the night. That's kind of basically, I think a lot of parents have the same problem there. I mean, if they sleep well, that's a great blessing because then you can get rest and they can get rest. But for Trent, that was, has always been a real challenge. And then that's a challenge for you personally as well, for mommy and daddy and brother and everybody else in the house.
Now, Sandy, and I'm going to just kind of keep vacillating, you know, playing ping pong here back and forth between both of you, if you don't mind. Nikan entered your lives, and was it an immediate, hey, we need to get this stuff on, you know, into Trent's home and change his environment? Tell us about how that took place.
Well, we found out about Nikan like everybody else does from someone else who had had good results with it. We actually were taking Trent to occupational therapy and met an older couple there up in their early 80s, I guess. And the older man, he was waiting for his wife to do chiropractic while Trent was doing OT. Well, Trent just fell in love with Bob. He was a very mild, gentle man that white hair, and Trent just made a beeline for him. And at that time, Trent was, I mean, hyperactivity was just unbelievable. Waiting room experiences was a nightmare. He could not sit still, would not sit still, and he'd be up and all over the waiting room, which meant I was too. And he'd be high in everybody's face, big, loud, boisterous highs and that kind of thing. And we became friends with Bob and Winona, and then they quit coming. Trent kind of looked for them every week, but we just kind of, I don't even think at that time that I had their phone number. Anyway, they stopped coming, and but a few months later, they called me and told me that this lady at church that had told Winona about Nikan, and that she put on a necklace, and she was drinking this water, and she and I had some neck problem issues in common. And she said, but that lady gave me a CD, and on that CD it told the story of an autistic child. And she said, Bob and I pray for you all and think about you all a lot, but we just wanted to tell you about this. So we found out about Nikan, went to the wellness preview, and to us it just made so much sense, common sense. And then when you think that these are all the things that God gave you, and God knew what he was doing. And fortunately, Pam loaned us a sleep system and a water filter, and it was sleep. Like I said, sleep was a challenge around here, and actually Trent would sleep with me in the front bedroom. We had a vibrating bed at that time, and he loved that bed, and he would go to sleep, and if he was almost asleep and it quit vibrating on that cycle, he would say, push it, please, and then he'd finally go back to sleep. So we had gotten bunk beds around here because my house was very small, and when my daughter and the rest of the family came in to spend the night or the weekends here, we didn't have enough space, so we bought these bunk beds, and so we tried to get Trent to sleep on the top bunk because his younger brother needed to be on the bottom. Well, Trent, his sleep would be, and he's still on medication, and my heart's desire is to get him off of meds. But from like 9:30 to 1 or 2 in the morning, he'd be out cold. I mean, you could pick him up, lift him, and, you know, he doesn't budge. But from that point on, when the medicine started wearing off, he would be restless, tossing, turning, yelling out, gotta have milk, gotta lay down with him. Well, when we tried putting him on the top bunk bed, 2:30 in the morning, here he comes out of the bunk bed into the bedroom with us. So 2 or 3 nights of that same thing. Wake up, here he comes. And I was afraid that coming off that top bunk bed at night that he might fall, hit his head, and, you know, get hurt. Well, anyway, my daughter came home for the weekend, and of course she wanted to sleep with him, so she put him back in the bedroom with her, and my husband said, we just give up here because it's just not worth the risk. Well, when we got the sleep system, we thought, this is going to be a problem. How are we going to get him off that vibrating bed and not sleeping with me? So we put him in here and made a big deal out of the new mattress, the topper, and the new blankie, and this is your bed. And Grant will lay down with you, Trent. And so I would lay down with him. And he slept through the night the first night. Needless to say, that was nothing for us short of amazing. And the next night when we came, it's okay, Trent, time to go to bed. And he said, in there, wanting to go to the other bedroom. And Papa says, no, Trent. And that he did that the first night too, in there. Papa said, no, Trent, this is your new bed. Grant will lay down with you. So same thing, went to sleep, slept through the night. And we thought, wow, this is great. But the third night, what was amazing to my husband, he said, this tells me that Trent doesn't understand any of this about magnets or what this comforter and this hopper is. But when we came to go to bed the third night, he did not even ask to go to the other bed. He came straight in here, crawled in bed, and he has not asked or gotten up out of the bed at 2:30, 3 in the morning and ever come back to that other bedroom. Now, to us, that just says, that's a little guy, he doesn't understand this, but his body knows, hey, this is good for me. And so the sleeping is probably the most dramatic, immediate result from Nikan that we saw with Trent, just an amazing transformation in his sleep patterns, which is a blessing to him, but that's also a blessing to us when he's here, and to mommy and daddy and brother when he's home, because you all need our sleep.
And yeah. Penny, so is he on a sleep system in both locations at Grandma and Grandpa's and at home?
Well, I tell you, we just saw so many improvements that, you know, that was what we did. Now, I can tell you this, my daughter didn't have the money for all this, but we had some savings and that kind of thing, and we just felt like, you know what, this stuff is wonderful. Trent needs this. And so over the course of a few months, we got a sleep. He has a sleep system in his house. And it here, we started with him because he most definitely needed worse than the rest of us. And we thought, you know what? We all need this. And here we are. Trent comes to us on Sunday night, and we take him back and forth to a private school in Louisville for autistic kids. And then the other grandparents pick him up on Friday, take him back home to Lewisport, which is 2 hours and 10 minutes from us. So he had a sleep system in both places. And then I thought, you know, I just said, you know what? We're trying to keep up with a 9-year-old. And here we are, 60, 61. This would be good for us too. So we have a sleep system. We bought a sleep system for mommy and daddy, and we bought a sleep system for our little brother because we so believe in this and think, you know, you need to do everything you can to stay as healthy as you can. And good night's sleep is a big part of that.
And the, you know, the foundation, the bedrock of well,
yes.
of health is, you know, sleep, water, air, nutrition is the way we always like to say it. And if you don't have that, as you just pointed out, if we don't have that, then everything else falls apart.
Right.
And you know, we don't need to study statistics about where what will happen. You go. I talked to a wildland firefighter last night for quite a while, and he described what it was like because we had one 60 miles to the east of us that was number 4 in the nation a couple weeks ago when he was out up there working it. And he said the first day they got there, things just literally went crazy out of control with the several hundred firefighters. But he said that first night we worked through the night. And he said, then that next day when they gave us time off, it's 90 degrees, the wind's blowing. He said, I didn't sleep. And then we went right back at it. And he talked about what that did to him physically and his interaction. I'm going, you know, and that's just one night.
Right.
And I'm thinking, we've got kids here that are going countless over and over and over. And, Angelique, I know for you guys, for your family, for you and Bill and for Lizzie and for Ben, you've seen great strides, not only with the sleep system, but also, though I remember when the waterfall was introduced less than 2 years ago, because I still, the text that you sent me, it's still in my cell phone, and I still almost weekly share that with people and read it and say, look, this is how much the water can impact a young man who's dealing with some issues. Do you want to share that with the group, what the waterfall did in a matter of, well, it took 2 weeks to convert them over and get them off of Gatorade, but share with the group what happened with Ben with just the water.
Well, for some reason, we switched from grape juice to Gatorade to get supplements into my son, and so that Gatorade stride lasted for probably about 7 years, and so when the waterfall came along, we started doing pH testing. I had several friends telling me, you know, you need to get him off of Gatorade and Sprite. You know, that's bad for him, and And I was trying to compensate in my mind, well, he needs these supplements, and this is the way I have to get it in him because he doesn't swallow pills, and a lot of kids with autism doesn't swallow pills. And so I was trying to compensate that way for the bad, you know, for the good. And so when I started doing that pH testing, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is really, really bad for him. So I made up my mind to get him off of Gatorade, and so I did it over Christmas break. And it was really a simple transition. I just told him, you know, this is what we have. There's no more Gatorade. I threw it all away so that way he wouldn't know that, you know, that there's none in the house. And, you know, he just accepted it. And, you know, he was already drinking the Nikan water anyway in the stuff. He just was never drinking plain water. And so when I got him off of that Gatorade, in a matter of just a couple weeks, his hyperactivity level went from way up to way down. And then in 6 months, when we redid our blood work, his liver enzymes went from 38 and 40 to now 15 and 16.
Whoa.
Whoa. That was the only change with the water.
You said 38 to 40 to drop down to what number again?
15 and 16.
Wow.
And so the range is 0 to 40. So yeah. He was still in the normal range. He was just in the upper range.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's in the middle of the range.
Wow.
I just think that's fantastic. It just goes to show you whatever you're eating and drinking definitely does affect your organs.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing, not to get on a tangent, but Charlie Franklin, good friend, and I refer to him as my token water expert, he always said to me years ago that when it comes to air and water filtration, you either have an external unit or your body becomes that unit. And we do need to give our organs a break and allow them to do that. Now, Angelique, I know with Ben, seeing such a huge transition just with the water, it compels us going, okay, wait a second, would not affect just kids dealing with autism or, you know, ADD. This is affect all kids. I mean, we've got three daughters, completely different DNA and with adoption and then one biological, and the dramatics that we can see when they're drinking enough water, when they're actually going to bed at a decent time and getting, you know, 8 to 10 hours of sleep, everything just seems to work better. Have you noticed that between Ben and Lizzie, and I guess we should note here that Lizzie, or Elizabeth, was learning disabled, and that was a huge turnaround for you as well, correct?
Right.
I mean, but you guys went full tilt. I mean, Sandy's simply talking about the sleep system. You guys went full tilt and just said, you know, we're going to integrate every part of the wellness home.
Well, no, we did that too.
Okay, you did it as well, Sandy.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I have a problem. I loved iced tea, you know, decaf, but still tea. And Trent did too. And, you know, my husband's diabetic, found that out a few years ago, and I said, oh, please, don't make me give up my tea. I need my iced tea, you know, and Trent would drink it if I had it here, but we got that water filter, and I thought, you know what? If I make tea, Trent Beaver and I both will choose tea. If I don't have tea, Trent Beaver and I will drink water. So water, water, water is what we drink, you know. And Trent loves the water. He drinks water really well. And you know, now we haven't had liver enzyme tests or anything like that. But, you know, I know the water's better for him. And I really understand how the water is so important for all of us. And getting off the tea and sugar is really important.
Well, I think, Sandy, not to correct you, but having lived in the South, I think it's properly pronounced sweet tea.
Well, we don't do sweet tea like that. I mean, when I go to McDonald's, I cannot drink that stuff. That's like syrup. You know, even when I had tea, I cut way back on the sugar. In fact, when we have family dinners, who made the tea? Aunt Sandy. So then they knew it wasn't nearly sweet. But when I go to their house, I'd have to put at least a third a glass of water to dilute the tea so that I could drink it. So I don't drink sweet, sweet, sweet tea. But I still like tea. Don't get me wrong. I love it. But I just don't make it here unless I'm having guests.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have some water.
Yes, go ahead, Angelique.
So, Vance, when I was first introduced to Nikan to a lady that I met, her name is Jerry Hickson, you know, I was introduced to a back flex originally. And then
right.
when I you know, got it for my husband. I didn't give it to my husband. I put it on my own back.
Right.
And, so then, you know, after, you know, I got the results and, you know, told my husband about it, said, hey, you should try this. And he goes, what is it? And I said, it's a magnet. And he goes, Angel, like, you are just so gullible.
That's what they say about me, too.
I was just like, well, gullible or not, this thing works for me, and I'm buying it. I don't care how much it is. I'm buying it because this is better than popping pills.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Tylenol or whatever.
And like, your back issue stems from what?
I believe at the time, to be honest, it was lack of water.
Okay.
Because I was a big Coca-Cola drinker. I mean, huge. I mean, we probably went through 5 or 7 liters of Coca-Cola in a week.
Oh, goodness.
And my kids drank Coca-Cola at that time, too, because, you know, they see it, they want it.
Sure.
And so when Jerry introduced, so then when I had told Jerry about, you know, I had gotten relief with the back flex, I at that point I told her, I said, I have a child that has autism. And she just asked me if I was open to using some more of the solutions for our family. And I said, absolutely. And so she brought over a sleep system, a water unit, and an air unit. And I didn't put them on my son with autism. I thought, he's on verbal. He can't tell me how he feels. So I put them on my daughter. And Elizabeth at the time, you know, we knew she, you know, snored and she had sleepwalking, but I didn't really consider those sleep issues, you know. We weren't going to the doctor for that. And so anyways, I just told her that, you know, we're going to try out this new comforter. I didn't even tell her I put the pad on, and so we're going to try out this new pillow. And she was okay with that. And the first night, she stopped snoring, and she stopped sleepwalking. And in 2 weeks, her teacher was asking me if, you know, if I had put her on medication. And I said, no.
And she was 11, 12 at the time?
Let's see. That was in 08, so Elizabeth was 9 years old.
9 years old, okay.
Nine?
And when I first met you, I think you had shared with me that...
No, 11. You're right, 11.
At the time, Lizzie was a couple years delayed, you know, learning disabled as far as subject-wise, you know, and
right.
Passing English. And then it was just a very short amount of time, I think a year, where she was up to par and ahead in some subjects, right? And
well, I mean, she definitely gained some ground. I don't know if she's ever been ahead per se, but she definitely seemed like she caught up. And so, you know, the medication thing, you know, when I said no, she was not on medication, she just said, well, if you're not on medication, what are you doing? Because I'm seeing what I typically would see when parents put their kids on medication. And, you know, I was just a few weeks into this, and I just said, oh, she's on this special pad that has magnets on it, and we're drinking magnetic water, and she's breathing special air, right? So she looked at me like, okay, we'll keep doing what you're doing here.
So that same reaction that Bill gave you when you were first introduced to the Kinkoflex from Jerry, that gullibility factor.
When I told Bill what the teacher had said, he just looked at me and said, get whatever we need.
Sure.
Because nothing we have ever done, you know, tutoring, speech therapy, you know, none of those things had ever worked that fast.
Sure.
For either
I'd
one
like
of
to
them.
Say this. Trent has had the same response there, too. Now, we've been in Tunica for about 2.5 years, but last year they have an autism awareness walk at school, and you go and you walk a mile around the block with all the kids, and then we have a luncheon. And the director of the school came up to us and said, I don't know what you're seeing at home, But let me tell you, here at school, this is a different young man. Now, Trent wears the necklace around his neck every day, and he wears the mag stripes in his shoes. In fact, now I've got to buy a new pair because he's outgrown the first pair. But she said, you know, it used to be when Trent Beaver was in the hall, the whole school knew Trent Beaver was in the hall. He could never just walk anywhere. He's kind of like awkward, jumping. He didn't have a sense of his own personal space. Very loud, very hyper, but she said he is just a different kid here. He had an amazing year last year as far as getting those very negative behaviors under control. Because if you don't have the behaviors under control, if you don't have the attention span and those things, then you really don't learn. Now, Trent is very far behind, academically speaking, but we think that's tied into all of the behavior issues. You can't focus, be attentive, you can't listen. You just can't accomplish the task and learn. So for all the getting the behaviors under control last year, we say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And now this year, I think Trent's at a place where he can really settle in and we can start making real academic progress. And with the Lord's help, we're going to get him caught up. That's going to take some time because actually he's probably working on a kindergarten level and he should be going into fourth grade. But he's just made so much progress in getting ready to learn, and we feel like this is going to be the year. And he was so ready to go back to school. He loves school. He doesn't need to be out of school, to be honest. He needs a weekend off or a four-day weekend, but he doesn't need a summer vacation, 2 weeks at Christmas and all that. I mean, he begs for school. So, I mean, we're on the right track, and you know, the water, the air, the whole wellness home. And I think the more you keep on him and the longer you use it, I think the more benefit we're going to see. And we're seeing Trent go. And he's made amazing improvements, too, in the social realm and in communication. He's not good at social, but he has that desire. He wants kids around him, and he doesn't know how to play appropriately, but he's taking steps in those directions. And every step you take is a big plus in getting him where he needs to be. So I agree with everything she said there. It's amazing. It's a difference, you know. You try to tell the teachers and people, well, you know, it's magnets and it's the water filter and he's getting good night's sleep. And this stuff is an all-natural way to help his body and us to improve. And we're seeing that. And like I said before, my goal is to, I hope and pray, I want to see him off of all medications, you know.
Sandy, well, as a grandmom, and I want to finish up our conversation with this one question, because I think there's so many of us that, and I've had conversations with other parents who give me that look when I start to say, when I meet them and I see their child dealing with any issue, whether it's autism or ADD or anything, and I ask the question, have you ever looked into it, have you ever read about magnetics or far infrared? And they give me that look that what I find, and this is, and I'm not putting people in a box, but most parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles who have had their family impacted with such a life-altering condition like this, there's always, again, just my perspective is that they've already been on this search, this journey.
Right.
And they've felt like they've seen everything and read everything, and people are getting different reactions to, you know, I hooked up with this company and they've got this juice formula, and our grandson or my daughter or whatever started taking this, and the whole, you know, everything turned around. That one solution to a complete wellness home with Nikan. What would, and I want both you ladies to answer this for us. How would you encourage us to, you know, do we tone it down or do we introduce them to a recording like this one? What would be your best advice? And Sandy, you go first.
Well, could I add one more thing here? Because
yes.
There may be other people that have autistic kids. Trent had a multitude of issues. He started having seizures November in his kindergarten year, and he wound up in Cochlear for 3 days, okay? So they put him on Depakote. He goes back to school the next week and does great, has a great school, great week, and then the following week, more seizures. Back to Cochlear for 3 more days. And they tried to put him to sleep to hook up all of the electrodes on his head. Well, they had to put him to sleep to get that, and he slept for 6 hours. So they didn't get the reading they want. Of course, we're already getting into Nikan about that time. Well, a year later, Gina found out about a doctor in Vanderbilt that worked with kids with unusual seizures. We'd also been told that Trent had Tourette syndrome. After he started the Depakote, the medication for the seizures, he would do this thing where he arched his back and he'd hold his breath for 10, 15, 20 seconds. And just do that sometimes constantly. And Tourette's is a heartbreaking diagnosis too, because they say there's nothing he can do for that. There is no cure. He'll always have that. Well, that year, these doctors said, we want to bring him down here this summer and we're going to run that test. So they put him in a hospital on a Friday afternoon, hooked him up and had all his head bandaged. The poor little fellow was confined in a little room there with a, you know, walking space of 10 to 12 feet at a time, and mom and dad were in there. Well, they came in on Saturday morning and told us no signs of seizure activity. And we think, wow, this is great. But they said, because he does this weird thing with his body, and you didn't have to be around Trent very long to actually witness the holding of the breath, we want to keep him one more night. So they kept him on Saturday night. Sunday morning they came in, and again they saw no signs of seizure activity, which was, thank you, God. But then they said, he does not have Tourette's. He said, this is some kind of a stereotypic behavior, and Trent just gets some kind of sensation, sensory issues, because he's had those too, out of this, and that, you know, they felt like over time that will get better. So we got, I really attribute both of those factors to, oh, especially the seizures, and I have CDs all about, you know, people with seizures, epileptic seizures getting better, and we haven't seen seizures since, well, he did have a couple of little episodes, but the doctor had told us to put him on Zyrtec during the high allergy seasons because of he's prone to ear infections, and he got a little bit too much, and the chiropractor that we take him to says he really felt like that was tied into the Zyrtec, not a true seizure. But if you're battling that on top of autism and on top of hyperactivity, I think that Nikan offers a real solution there. So, I mean, it's just amazing. I can't thank God enough for leading us. And I do believe that everything that we did with Trent, you know, God led us to the people, to the therapies and the things that could help him, because all of this is a answer to prayer for us. So, you know, with that diagnosis comes a lot of tears and a lot of prayers.
And
thank you, God, that we're doing better.
And the thing is, whether it's in a natural solution like this or just an act of God's, you know, miraculous handiwork to provide divine healing, either way, we're grateful. And Angelique, would you add to that literally for those of us who come across other parents or grandparents, that what would be your best way to encourage them just to check this out?
Well, I'm trying to, I mean, I was introduced myself initially, so sometimes I think, you know, helping, because parents that are living with a child with autism are extremely stressed out, and more than likely that stress is going to cause some kind of a physical issue. And so for me, you know, that's what got my attention. So, you know, see if you can help, you know, somehow help the family or the parent themselves first.
Okay.
Because, you know, I mean, that's what happened in my situation, and I've, you know, found that to be true in other situations for me as well.
Sure.
I think, you know, starting with nutrition for, you know, the family as a whole is very important. We put Ben on a gluten, casein-free diet right when he was shortly diagnosed with autism at 2, so he was about 28 months old, and within 2 weeks, you know, he was starting, you know, to make eye contact. He was starting to respond to his name. He, you know, would let us touch him and hold him. He said his first word because he was completely nonverbal at that time. So, you know, the diet is huge for anyone,
right,
especially for our kids.
And I think what you're saying reminds me of something that Roger Drummer encouraged us all to do, that if we're going to have a healthy child, healthy home, that starts with the parents and the grandparents and the aunts and uncles of taking the first step, saying, okay, wait a second, we got to take care of ourselves before we try and take care of our kids. And maybe it goes synonymously at the same time, but I appreciate that advice of, you know, just talk to people. Offer them the same solutions that we get to enjoy every single day before you go and try and fix their kids or their niece and their nephew or their grandchild, which is fantastic advice, and just kind of see where it goes from there.
I wanted to add one more thing. Like, for example, you know, these kids are usually very sensitive, and they usually have they're very picky or selective. My child is very picky and selective.
That too.
Right? And so anyway, if you, Ben would never, ever drink bottled water. You could hand it to him, and as soon as it got 2 or 3 inches from his nose, he was taking his hand and pushing it away.
Wow.
And then, because before, you know, when we lived in North Carolina, and, you know, this was many years ago, you know, he wouldn't drink bottled water, and I didn't want him to drink the tap water. So we were actually buying reverse osmosis water. Because that was the only thing he would drink, which wasn't good either. But if your kid won't drink tap water, because if you hand him, a, you know, something with tap water and he pushes it away, you know, I'm like, what is the deal with this kid, right? So anyways, so what I've learned since then is to trust Ben's sense of smell, because his smell sensitive things are working way much better than mine, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we all know that bottled water is extremely, you know, bad for you, or we should, except for, you know, if during hurricanes or major catastrophes, you know, that's what you're probably going to have to drink.
Unless you've got a waterfall or any other Nikon solution.
Right, for us that do, we're lucky, right?
Right, so, well, yeah.
But, you know, just in general, you know, these kids are pushing things away for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be, you know, why, we need to investigate why are they pushing it away. And I don't know where, I mean, I was just going with that with water and with food, certain foods, you know, because lots of foods have tons of chemicals in them.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Oz said it best. He just said, if you can stick to one ingredient of food, you wouldn't have to read a label.
Yeah, Angelique, you shared that with me the last time we spoke, and I have quoted that so many times to people that say, well, oh, yeah, I just don't have time to read ingredients. Let's follow Dr. Oz's advice that you don't have to put the one ingredient food. And I think that's where, with the vital balance, you know, if you want to check out the ingredients, they're pure and whatnot. But
right.
I think the greatest advice that I'm gleaning from both you ladies is that it really comes down to just literally see what Nikon has to offer, because it is life-changing, it is altering. And I love the fact that, Sandy, you brought up the topic of seizures, because there's so many other things that kids, whether they're autistic or whether they've been labeled with something, so many other things that kids are dealing with. And Angelique, as you just pointed out, that they'll tell you, they may not be able to use words, but when they turn their nose up at something, that, wait a second, why, now if it's a... It's a good healthy meal with, you know, broccoli and, you know, all these other things that they just, because of the texture, you know,
right.
We deal with that with our 3-year-old. All of a sudden she'll react differently. But the bottom line, those things that are healthy, that are organic, that are natural solutions, these kids know, and we should learn something from them that, hey, this is a good thing.
Dan, can I share one more thing?
Yes, one more thing. I want to wrap this up for
okay.
people's sake of time.
All right, so the last thing is in 06, we took our son to Washington, D.C., and we had a SPECT scan at the Dr. Amin Clinic. So SPECT scan is a piece of equipment where they inject a dye into your veins, and they measure, you know, where the brain is getting oxygen and where it's not. And from that SPECT scan, it showed that our son did have, you know, ADD. And, /ADHD too, but it also showed that his temporal lobes were firing that would be speculative of seizure activity. And they recommended the drug Lamictal for seizures. And so we did, we started that. And after I did some research on Lamictal, I found that, you know, there's a whole bunch of other side effects, and so I was like, no, I'm not willing to do that. So I winged him off, and the next year is when Nikon came in, you know, pretty much the next year is when Nikon came into our life. And, you know, as children with autism get older and puberty starts to set in, they have a higher susceptibility of having seizures come on in their puberty years. And so I'm speaking from that age group because my son isn't, you know, in puberty now. We've been on the Wellness Home since June of 08. And so far, thank you, Lord, no. I mean, I don't have a test saying that, but so far we've seen no seizure activity.
Wow.
So I was using it from a perspective that I don't, you know, not only was he not sleeping and that, you know, the sleep system cured that issue, but also was wanting to prevent seizure activity from coming on. Because I had heard all the stories about kids and adults who were using the sleep system and it really, you know, cutting down their seizures. I didn't want my son to get seizures.
Right. Doesn't need another problem, right?
Like, right. I don't need any more problems.
Right. Amen.
And I, you know, going back, if I can tie a bow on this conversation, is that even as adults and everything else that we're doing, may we never know what we're going to prevent. That if we surround ourselves and we do change the environment, and going all the way back to the very beginning of our conversation, again, this is just simply my opinion, that I truly believe, and there's other things that I've read that back this up, but I truly believe the environment does matter, and the environmental factors, the water, the air, the chemicals that are in our homes, and all these other things, it's affecting these children that so much, and we see the statistics and the Healthy Child, Healthy World information, that kids being born with 200 chemicals in their body, just raging through their body, they really don't have much of a chance unless we become proactive and start utilizing some of these solutions and make a change. So, Angelique, Sandy, thank you so much for sharing your experience, because I know this is going to be helpful to so many of us. And I know that if we'll utilize even a recording of this conversation, it'll just help. So SaturdayAMLive.com, www.SaturdayAMLive.com is the website where the recordings are. And just scroll down until you see in bold red the two names, Angelique Edelin and Sandy Truax. And click and copy the link and send it on to people via email and just ask them, you know, hey, check this out, listen to it, see if any of this makes sense to you. Because that could just be the very thing that will open the door for them to have that experience. And
could you repeat that address one more time?
Yes, it's www.SaturdayAMLive.com. And that's where these recordings end up. So again, SaturdayAMLive.com, and they'll be up in, if not today, first thing Monday morning, when our good friend Steve Kofitz has the opportunity to get them posted. And on that note, just as a reminder, that every Saturday, keep doing the same calls, different guests every single week, and got a lot of things lined up coming up, and I'll cover that in my announcements in a few minutes. So again, thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Angelique. I appreciate it greatly.
Thank you.
And look forward to doing a follow-up to getting more updates on both Ben and Trent and seeing how they're doing. So everybody, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Finish off the month strong, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.